Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast, the podcast where top B2B CEOs and executives share their insight, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants. Each episode, we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have propelled them to success. Today, we're joined by Paige Arnoff-Finn, founder of Mavens and Moguls, to discuss her journey in bringing world-class marketing talent and expertise to change-making organizations throughout the world. Paige, thank you for joining the show.
Bo, thank you for having me. I am so excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, fun learning that we both call New Orleans home at one point, but can you start off by just sharing your journey that led you to start Mavens and Moguls and what you're most proud of achieving with your company so far?
Absolutely. So I had a circuitous path, like I'm sure most people that you talk to, you think it's going to be a straight path in your life and your career, and it never is. So when I graduated from college in the 80s, my first job was on Wall Street. I was a financial analyst. I had been an economics major in college, and I thought I wanted a career in finance, but I realized pretty quickly that was not going to be my career. But I had made a 2-year commitment to a investment bank in New York City. So I did my 2 years of duty, and then I went back and got an MBA, and I kind of rebranded myself from a finance person to a marketing person. I'd never taken marketing before. I loved my marketing class. I got a summer internship in marketing at Procter & Gamble, which is the mecca of marketing. They invented the concept of brand management. A lot of the items that you have in your house are P&G brands like Crest toothpaste and Bounty paper towels, Pantene, Oil of Olay. Like they have a lot of I think they're the top 1 and 2 in pretty much every category they compete in. So my marketing career has 3 chapters. I started out doing big corporate consumer products marketing at Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. Coke's probably the most recognized brand in the world. And then my second chapter of my marketing career was heading up marketing at 3 successful startups in the kind of 90s when the internet 1.0 boom took off. And then after 9/11, I hung out a shingle and I started my own marketing firm. And I've been doing that for the last 23 years. So I went from big brand marketing to startup marketing to running a marketing company that I started myself.
I saw those timestamps on the startups, the late 90s and early 2000s, and thought about what that was like during the boom and the bust period of the internet 1.0, like you said. Maybe we can circle back to that if we have time.
But absolutely. Yeah, that was a roller coaster. I had a front row seat to the whole thing.
My life was the same way, traveling all over the world, trying to chase the dot-com fortunes that were out there and ended up back here at home. I love what you said in your guest form for the podcast about the killer app of 2025 being AI, but it's a different form of AI. And I loved your twist on it and that it was authentic interactions and not artificial intelligence. Tell me more about authentic interactions and how that gets you excited and what you mean by that.
So I think today in your platform is all about technology and how technology is integral to all of our lives, which is absolutely true. I think without our phones and Zoom and all the tools and technologies and social media platforms, I think it just runs our lives today. But I think with the latest wave of AI, which seems to have just taken over the world, especially in the last year, I talk to my clients about this all the time. AI's got a lot of strengths. There are a lot of great things it can help you do, but you can't rely on it 100% as a crutch, because I think one of the downsides of AI is it's the lowest common denominator and it can be very generic and robotic. And I think when people overly rely on it, when they use it too much, you just sound like everybody else. And there's nothing unique, special, or different if you're having it write your newsletters or do the copy on your websites or send your emails. It turns into a sea of sameness. And so the way to stand out today and be unique is to create a brand and create an emotional connection with your audience. And that's a brand is what helps you stand out in a world that's becoming very invisible. So the AI that I really work with my clients on, as you said, is the authentic interactions, finding out what you can do and say that only you own that space. What's your origin story? What are those war stories in the trenches, the good, the bad, the ugly? Where did you really screw up and what did you learn from that? What were those lessons? And I think that's what people remember. They want to hear your stories. The facts and figures and data just kind of, again, it's overwhelming and people don't remember that. They don't connect to that on an emotional level. What they connect to is what happened? What was the setback? Where did that resilience come from? How did you get back on your feet and turn it around? And tell me all about that, because that's what people remember. That's how they connect to you. And that's really where you build those trusted relationships over time. I am not a Luddite. I love technology, but there's a time and a place for it. But you cannot forget kind of all those stories that got you to where you are today that only you can tell, because that's really how you build your brand. And ultimately, you want to own real estate in your customer or client's brain so that every time they have a problem that your product or service can help them solve, that they think of you first. And it's not going to be because of some data or generic thing that's going to make you pop and break through the clutter in that sea of sameness. It's going to be, oh my God, who is that guy that told me that crazy story? And remember how he lost everything and got back on his feet and what he tried and what worked and what didn't work. That's what's going to connect with them.
Yeah, so jumping around a little bit on me because I had a question for you about your belief that everyone is their own brand and it's not just up to the stars and the Hollywood elites. What happens when leaders aren't focused in on building their own individual brand?
So again, I think a lot of people, when they come to me, they say, oh, I'm not famous. I'm not LeBron James or Beyonce or Taylor Swift. I'm not really a famous person. I don't think of myself as a brand. But the thing is, today, I really do believe everybody's a brand, whether you're the owner of a company or a senior person in an organization, you really do need to consider yourself a brand just to, again, have that stake in the ground. As the leader of a company, whether your name's on the door or not, you are very highly associated with your business. My company's name is not my personal name, but when people think about my company, they go to my website, my DNA is in everything there. So, it definitely matters today. Again, you're trying to stand out, to be remembered, to whether you're advocating for your team, trying to raise money, trying to justify your budget to senior management. Again, internal entrepreneurs, intrapreneurs, entrepreneurs, startup founders, B2B service firms, the people at the helm. You are your brand. I had a professor in business school that used to say, marketing is everything and everything is marketing. And I used to laugh when he said it, but now that I've been doing it for decades, I think he's right. I think he was really brilliant because if people don't remember you, if they don't know you, they're not going to remember you. They're not going to connect with you. They won't use your product or service when you could help solve their problem. So you've got to break through the clutter. You've got to figure out what's unique, special, and different. What are your strengths? Where do you stand out versus your competition? It's absolutely critical. And today, before people return your phone call, answer your email, invite you to be a guest on their podcast, What do? They check you out online. They'll Google you. They'll go to LinkedIn. They'll check out your social media platforms and they'll decide, is this person worth my time and effort? Who are they? What do they stand for? And with a name like mine, and actually a name like yours too, because your name is not, if you're Bob Smith or Susan Jones, it's going to be pretty hard to figure out which one is you if you Google it. But with the way you spell, your last name is unusual. My name is hyphenated. My company name is unusual. If people Google me, they're really going to find me. And so, what are they going to find when they check me out? And is that something that they feel like they can be interested in? Is it worth the phone call? Is it worth the cup of coffee? Is this someone I want to have a conversation with on my podcast? If a lot of digital dirt comes up, you're in trouble.
Digital
And
dirt.
yeah, it could happen. And if you share a name of like a serial killer or a bank robber or something, you need to be in on the joke. When you email somebody and you say, I just want to make sure you find the real me. Here's my LinkedIn link. Because if they can't find you, or if what they see is really confusing, again, you're just asking for trouble because you want to make it as easy for people to connect with you as possible. And you want to make sure all your social media platforms tell a consistent story. If you try to be one person on Facebook and another person on X and another person on LinkedIn, they're not going to know which version of you is going to show up. And again, that's just making it harder for them than it needs to be.
Do
Be
you
that
agree?
brand that has that emotional connection where this is someone you want to talk to. You want to meet for lunch or coffee. You want to pick up the phone and get to know them a little better.
Yeah, I love the story brand philosophy of when you confuse, you lose.
Absolutely.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that being your own brand helps differentiate you and get you out of that sea of sameness, that commoditization that can happen.
Yeah, because commodities compete on price, and that's a really dangerous place to be because anybody can lower their price and then you get beat. If you're a brand, people are willing to pay a premium for a brand. They see value in that. So make sure that they see how your brand can benefit them. Don't spend a lot of time and energy talking about all the shiny objects and all the features. We got this, we got that, we can do this, we can do that. They don't care about that. Think about it from their perspective. What's in it for them? If they can see that you're going to save them time, save them money, help them do something in a more convenient manner, then they're interested. But it's really about them, it's not about you.
They buy on emotions, not features and functionality, right?
You got it. Bingo.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about my passion. What role does technology play in your strategy at Mavens and Moguls? How are you leveraging it to enhance the services that you bring to your client and their experiences? Talk tech with me for a minute.
I'm happy to. When I started my company 23 years ago, technology was not anywhere close to where it is right now. There was no social media. Facebook, when it started, it was just for kids on college campuses. I think you've got to continually educate yourself and be open-minded and learn and grow and train because if you don't stay up with technology, you're going to get left behind. I'm not saying you have to be an expert in everything, but you need to be educated and you need to learn, have a growth mindset. So that you're staying up on current trends, you understand what it does, why people like it, why people use it. I certainly get involved with social media strategy on all the different platforms for my clients, but for me personally, LinkedIn matters most. And I think for a lot of B2B service firms, B2B is a great platform for thought leadership. You can publish stuff on it. It's about professional networking. There are a lot of groups. If you're looking for jobs, it's a great platform. My clients are not looking for me on Pinterest or Instagram or even Facebook. So I really don't spend any time at all on most of those platforms. I really encourage people to pick one or two platforms that are like very authentic to them, where you can show your strengths, showcase what's great about you, and don't get distracted and don't spread yourself too thin across everything. Because unfortunately, I think if you're just doing a little bit in a lot of places, you don't look as deep and you don't look as expert as you would if you just picked one or two things and did them really well. For me, I'd rather be very deep than very wide. And I really think for my clients, I really encourage them to pick their lane and stick to their lane. But you've really got to understand your audience, your target, where are they going to find the answers that they're looking for? So for me, technology, it's great, but don't get so sucked into it that you lose the forest from the trees. Again, make technology, leverage the technology to showcase your strengths in a way that really touts the benefits to your audience so that they can see why you're a better fit for them. A lot of people, when blogging started, I had so many clients come to me and say, "I hear this blogging thing's really great. Can you help me set up a blog?" And my first reaction is, "Do you like blogging? Are you committed to this? Is this something that, do you have something you want to say on a regular basis? And are you willing to really nurture those conversations and those relationships?" Before you start your own blog, I always say, why don't you be a contributor to the well-trafficked blogs in your category or in your industry that already have an audience, and you just start, you can be a regular contributor and answer questions and add value and be that voice of reason, be smart, you can be funny. And every time you make a comment, you've got a signature block at the bottom. So if people want to continue the conversation, they can go to your website or that you can, they can contact you directly and start doing that. And if that's working for you, I really think you got to do baby steps, because the worst thing you can do is set up a blog. You're super excited. The first week, you're blogging like three times during the week. You got all these great ideas. The next week, you're busy. You only got to it once. Then the next week, you're at a trade show. And then you're on vacation. So now it's been a couple weeks. And then you go back and you're really, now there's all these conversations that popped up that you didn't actually answer or contribute to in the engagement. And now a month has passed and you've lost interest and you got distracted. What you've done is you've trained your audience to say, I'm a little bit flaky. I'm not really that into this. I do a lot of things. I throw a lot of things against the wall. Some of them stick. Maybe I'll come back to this later. And that's just not the image you want to build for a quality brand that's a leader in your category. Like I said, really, it's so much better. Again, same thing with doing an email newsletter. If you like writing newsletters, do it. But don't start by saying, I'm going to send out a weekly newsletter and then do it every third, fifth, eighth week. Because then you've really done a bad job of managing people's expectations. Start with a monthly or bi-monthly or quarterly newsletter. And then if you want to up the volume, you can go from quarterly to bi-monthly to monthly. But if you tell people to expect seeing you in the inbox every week and you don't deliver, that's just a bad place to be. You never want to overpromise and under-deliver, because that's not building a quality brand. So I love technology. I love how it can help you tell your story and get you where you want to go. But make sure you're being brutally honest with yourself so that you're playing to your strengths, you're promising what you are really going to do, and you really over-deliver every time. So people see the value, they see the quality. And then let's say your newsletter is really good and you're enjoying doing it every quarter, and you have other businesses that reach the same target audience as you. You could start contributing articles to their newsletter as opposed to putting out a whole nother one of yours. You could just pepper other like-minded organizations reaching the same audience so that, again, you've got your contact information. And if they every time they see your name pop up on a blog, in a newsletter, it's, man, that Bo Jenkins, he says the smartest things, or I always agree with what he say or says, or every time he raises a point, he really makes me think. He's a smart guy. Let me check him out. And then they follow the link at the bottom and they're like, I love this guy. He's great. I should follow up with him, or I want to start following him on social media. That's the way you build a strong brand. So again, technology's great. Make sure you use it to play to your strengths, and less is more.
Love it. I love it. What I heard you say was take the steps and hold on to the handle when you get in the shallow end. Don't just jump in the deep end first.
Bingo. Bingo.
So, yeah, I'm going to use that advice. I appreciate you going through that with my kids because they've been nagging me to get on TikTok for years now. And I've continued to resist the urge. And now I can say, Paige said, don't
Blame
do
it
it.
on
Yeah. So let's look at the other side of the spectrum. I'm a firm believer in the saying readers are leaders. I saw that you mentioned that in your intake form as well. Are there any books that are top of mind for you today? Anything you got hanging out on the shelf that you just put up that's making your brain churn at night thinking about things?
So I'm a big reader and I listen to a lot of podcasts. For me, I love real life stories from CEOs, from people that I just read Ina Garten's book, The Barefoot Contessa, about how she came into starting her business. I love stories of interesting, powerful women and their backstories. I have a bias to that because I have different eras too, people that are my age and people that are much older, like how they became who they are. There are obviously a lot of great kind of classic leadership books, Brené Brown, Simon Sinek. And I love stories about marketing and branding just because it's my kind of core interest. And there's so many great practitioners, the Seth Godins, the David Meerman Scotts, the Guy Kawasaki's, people who have run marketing organizations, led companies, and created these outstanding brands, and how they got to where they got. And again, they're telling real stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Guy Kawasaki worked for Steve Jobs. He had a front row seat to the building of the Apple brand. That to me, it, being a great leader and working for a great leader and sharing those insights and stories, I eat it up. So again, I don't necessarily follow what's on the New York Times bestseller list or the ones that like everybody's talking about. What are the businesses, who are the people that either from a pop culture standpoint or just from a brands you know and love. Richard Branson's written a lot of great books. There are a lot of leaders that are willing to kind of let you peek behind the curtain and see how they got to be who they are today. And I'm always reading something just to learn from their stories, their mistakes, and just trying to fasten my seatbelt and enjoy the ride.
I'm loving Dan Sullivan stuff myself right now. I just finished 10X is Easier Than 2X.
Yep, that's a good one
Love
for
that.
sure.
Who Not How, Gap Versus the Gain. Yeah, great. You mentioned that you don't follow the New York Times bestsellers list. I don't even look at it. I get my best book recommendations from my peer groups in the industry and
Yep.
from other meetings that I'm in where like-minded people are sharing what they're reading.
Yep, I totally agree.
Getting to the end here, just quickly peer into your crystal ball for me and tell me what kind of exciting developments or projects you're working on that you're particularly enthusiastic about. What trends or shifts do you see shaping the future of how you approach marketing and branding in the upcoming years and how you're using those to help your clients?
In a way, I feel if you had asked me 23 years ago, would I still be doing this? I would have said absolutely not. All those three chapters of my early career, my longest job before starting my own company was 3.5 years. So the fact that I'm still running my own business and growing it is amazing to me. What will the future hold? Oh boy, I have no idea, but I'm pretty excited because I feel like we were on a pretty big growth trajectory when I first started. We quadrupled the first year, tripled the second year, doubled the third year. The base was getting bigger every year, but things were really growing pretty quickly. Then we hit the kind of Great Recession, 2008, 9, 10, and everybody was saying flat is the new up. So things slowed down a little bit. Then things picked up again. COVID was a bit of a shock, but the truth is, my business has been virtual from the beginning. So it wasn't that hard to pivot during COVID. I think it was harder for my clients than it was for us. I think now things definitely seem to have corrected, or this is the new normal post-pandemic. The past year and this current year have been really great. Maybe not my all-time best years, but quite strong. Things are definitely back. Budgets are bigger. I think people are much more used to the roller coaster of the stock market. When I started my company right after 9/11, the stock market had dropped 500 or 600 points and it just sent everyone into a tailspin. Now it drops 500 points almost every week, if not every few weeks, and people don't even blink anymore. So I think we've all gotten a lot more resilient. I think we're all more used to the kind of ups and downs and twists and turns of the economy. For my clients and me, I feel like people understand the value of good marketing, that they need to be out there. They need to find those right words and pictures to tell their story in a way that helps them break through the clutter and all the noise that's in the market. For me, the last year or two are some of the biggest projects we've ever worked on in the history of more than 2 decades. So we have several six-figure engagements again where people are looking more holistically at everything about their branding, their messaging, their positioning, their social media strategy, their PR. And so I think during the tougher periods of the Great Recession, the quiet quitting, all the kind of downturns, people limited their scope, limited their budget, and maybe focused on one part of the marketing mix. But the last few client and new client engagements, we have people that are looking at a more holistic view again, which I think is great because it takes a long time to get all the parts shaken up and kind of restarted and relaunched. And when you have more of a budget, more of a footprint, you've got more tools in the toolkit you can play with, you can get there faster. And so whether you're talking nonprofits or for-profits, big companies or small companies, it's a very exciting time right now. Because I think people see they're starting to really internalize and value the power of great branding and marketing. They've seen what happens during COVID. If you didn't exist online, you didn't exist. And so people now see I've got to have a great online presence. Digital marketing is here to stay. I need to have a website. I need to make sure that my site is optimized for search, for images, for voice. You really got to stack the deck in a way where it's more of a 360 degree view of all the touch points need to be synced up. And so you can really figure out where are the highest leverage opportunities for you. So it's a really exciting time, I think, to be in marketing because, again, whether you're big or small, for-profit or nonprofit, there are just so many opportunities right now for people to get their story out there, figure out those compelling hooks, finding the right words and pictures so that you can accelerate your sales cycle and really hit new kind of highs and grow in a way that's relevant for today.
That's great. Yeah. Wrap your arms around the bigger picture and look at it from a higher level. For those listeners who are inspired by your journey, what's one key takeaway or a piece of advice you can give them that may make a meaningful impact on their journey?
So again, if I haven't convinced you yet, I hope you will be open-minded and realize that everybody's a brand today. If you don't exist online, you don't exist. And I would just say Google yourself, Google your business, and see what pops up. Do an audit on your brand, quick and dirty. Talk to a few people, figure out what the real estate is. What do you stand for? What are you known for? And is that what you want to be known for? And if it's not, what are those seeds that you can plant that start telling the story in a way that is consistent with the brand you're trying to build so that you can put a stake in the ground, start those conversations in a way that creates a groundswell of support? So that it's not just you beating the drum, but other people know you, they know where to find you, they know how to refer business to you, recommend you. And if you do that, marketing kind of takes care of itself.
That's great. That's great. Thanks, Paige. So let's just end it with tell the listeners how they can connect with you and learn more about the work you're doing at Mavens and Moguls.
So go to the website, mavensandmoguls.com. It's mavensandmoguls.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. My name is hyphenated, but in LinkedIn, it's all smushed together, no hyphen. Or as one of my clients say, if you Google Paige and Mavens, if you can't remember my hyphenated name and all the names of my company, Paige and Mavens, and I pop right up. So thank goodness for search engine optimization. That works too.
Great, Paige. Thanks so much for joining us today. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Bo. You too.
This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.